Hey, everybody, it's Maylee Thomas, and it's time for Texas Homegrown Music. And today's guest is my new friend, Christopher Wright. Found out that he's just living right up the road from me, and I love this show for this reason. I get to meet new artists and make new friends in the music business, and I found a new one here with Christopher. What a sweet soul, and I think you'll probably agree with me that he's just real and authentic, and when you hear the interview, you'll probably tear up a little bit, because I certainly did, because I know that he's lived life and he's gone through some stuff and he's on the other side now and he's writing music about it. And I love sharing it. So I'm going to get right to it. But before I do, I want to sing a song for you called This Is My Road, off of my record out there called Don't Give Up, because I believe we should all just keep going and not give up. But when we come back after This Is My Road, I'll have my new friend and a new artist for, I hope all of you, Christopher Wright.
I have
Well, we're back, and I'm so excited to introduce you guys to my new friend, Christopher Wright. And Christopher, you had an interesting few days, haven't you? Been on the road. And
I have. We had a so Friday we were invited by the Cowboy Channel to go out to the Stockyards, and we played during the heat of the day. It was really actually a nice day because it was nice and windy, but you know how it goes with outside PAs and all that stuff in the wind. So it was interesting. It was fun. I got plenty of sun. I don't know if you can tell it by this video.
Not yet. I've been to the beach.
I got roasted, man. I got like this arm, because I'm right-handed, so this arm is like completely like just red, and then the underside of this arm is red. So I got like the worst start to a tan line for the summer that you can get.
But you know what they call that, right?
Huh?
You know what they call that?
What's that?
A farmer's tan.
Well, yeah, but the farmer's tan at least is kind of rounded around your arms. I literally, like, the backside is white because my arm was turned, you know, holding a guitar. I mean, you can completely see the shape of my guitar on my tan, so I don't know what this is called now. It's not really a farmer's tan. It looks like you've been holding a guitar.
Guitar tan.
Yeah. Hey, maybe that's a new thing.
That's a new, we can start as something. Well, yeah. I've definitely had many of that. And I've, you know, depending on where I played, sometimes you're, you know, facing the wrong direction and you end up with being a true redneck and living in Texas. I know exactly what I'm talking about when I say that.
Yeah. That's who was it? Was it Charlie Daniels that had the song, or was it David Allan Coe? My long hair just can't cover up my redneck, or something like that. Remember that?
Yeah.
Good tune.
Well, I want to talk about it. So speaking of good tunes, I want to talk about some of your good tunes, but I want to particularly talk about a song that we're going to feature in this first segment, and you know, the impetus behind it and what made you write it, because I think there's some real personal feelings in here. The name of the song is, of course, "I've Been to Hell and You Can Have It," and I think that there's a lot of people that have definitely, if they've lived life long enough, they've been through some hell on earth. And you want to tell me about that?
Yeah, sure. I wrote this tune. I got sober almost 5 years ago, and all the decisions that I made up until that point put me in a spot where it brought me to my knees. I had acute liver failure in 2016, and my pancreas shut down, and my spleen like swelled up to where it was gonna bust. And I got into McKinney Medical Center over here. I actually went in there because I thought I like had a hernia, and I don't have a bundle of shingles in the back of my truck. Anyways, I was yellow because I was so jaundiced, because I was drinking too much and making way too many bad decisions at the time. So, but anyways, when I got in there, they were like, "A hernia is the least of your worries. So you're fixing it. You're in a bad way." And anyways, so long story short, I was in a coma for about 8 days. And
was it a medically induced coma?
Yeah, it was a medically induced coma because they ended up having to put me on dialysis, take all the old blood out and put new stuff back in. And they put a trachea thing down my throat and all that stuff. So I was hooked up on wires and being held on. My mom, actually, we're talking about my mom. She actually had to make the phone call from the hospital to my dad and say, you know, they were going to have, if he wanted to see me, he lives in Longview, saying if he wanted to see me, he needed to come up to the hospital because the doctors had basically said that I wasn't going to make it. So they, it still kind of gives me chills when I think of that.
Wow. Christopher, you're a young man. That's,
yeah. Yeah, it was a good 15 years of riding way too fast and loose and not thinking that anything was going to happen. Everything was happening to everybody else. Wasn't going to happen to me, you know? It really hit me when our pastor was dispatched from our church over here at Christ Church in Plano. And, you know, I got this thing down my throat. I can't talk. I really can't move anything. I can't move my hands or my feet or whatever, but I see the pastor walking in and I'm like, oh, You know, I'm like, what's this guy doing here? This, you know, this is like, this is where it really hits me. And it got really scary. I felt like a lot of pain that went straight through my body. Like I'd never felt before. And I really just wanted to die at that point. And I think I was kind of, some heartbreak had led me to the point to where I really didn't care whether I lived or died anyways. So, but then I got real scared, and then it got real still. And then I realized that I was going to do whatever it takes to live at that point. I really made that decision right there. And from then on, it's been a lot of work getting back to homeostasis. I'll have to show you some pictures of what it looked like. And it wasn't that long ago, 4.5 years ago. It was pretty bad. But so, yeah, I have been to hell. And if you want it, you can have it, because I don't want it. That's why I wrote that tune, though, because, you know, I sponsor guys right now. And I talk to, you know, guys that want to know, you know, I just share my experience and my strength and my hope. And it's a survivor story more than anything. You know, whatever it takes to pull my head out of my butt is basically what my whole album is called. My first EP is called Losing Everything I Never Had. So it's interesting, because I thought I had a grip on a lot of stuff. And when I lost it, I realized I didn't really have a hold of anything. So I wrote that song because a buddy of mine that I was working with, he was down there in Houston, and he was making those same mistakes. And it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I told him, I said, man, I've already been to hell, dude. You can have it. You want it. You already know what's coming, you know? And, yeah. So I think the very first, you know, line in the song is, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, you know? And, kind of played off that whole thing. And, you know, and I think
you had me at that hook. You had me. As soon as I heard that line, I was like, okay, I got to hear this, because, and listening to the lyrics, I felt like, you know, you were writing about yourself. And I figured that, you know, I needed to hear the story. I needed to know what it was. And looking at your pictures, and I didn't know any of that about you, Christopher, but it needs to be told, because I don't know what drove you to drink. I don't know if it was partying and just having fun with your friends and just get, you know, feeling like you were indestructible, which, you know, I know that a lot of kids go through that.
Yeah, it started like that. And then it got to be where, you know, and I had a divorce, and I had a child custody thing that went on. And I realized that I was up against a mountain that I wasn't ever going to be able to conquer. And I was one of those things where parental alienation, you know, came into the whole thing, where I tried the best that I could, or with all the tools that I had at that time, knew to be able to maintain my relationship with my kids. And I realized, well, the other party basically told me, you know, you're never going to be able to see your kids again. And we'll think of the words where we'll financially ruin you and you'll never see your children again. And I was like, watch this. I sure will. So after I spent every dime that I could come up with, and I lost. So I just said, I think what I did was, I was trying to say, I'm going to hurt myself so that you'll see how much pain I'm in. Maybe it doesn't make any sense, but I mean, it's kind of like hitting yourself in the head with a hammer because you got a headache, you know? So I don't know, or just trying to poison yourself to hurt somebody else, I guess. And then at some point along the way, it became a physical addiction, to where, I mean, I had to have a certain amount of intoxicants in my system just so that I wasn't vibrating, you know? I mean,
well, that's probably why you felt when you were in the hospital, like the pain that you did, because you were coming off of that. Your deeds were horrible.
Yeah, it was bad. Really bad.
Well, I'm so glad that you got through it, Christopher. You're very talented, and I mean, your music certainly speaks to a lot of people. The messages that you have, and I want to talk about some of those other songs as well. But right now, I want to play "I've Been to Hell" and "You Can Have It." And I want is there anybody in particular that you would like to say that song really is for? Is it something that you wanted to leave?
You know, anybody who's out there and still struggling to, you know, to realize that, you know, you're still out there beating your head up against the wall. It's really just to say, you know, you're not so unique. There's a lot of folks out there that get real close to that level, but you know, at some point in time, it's nice to know that you're not alone, you know. So
that in itself is worth giving the song for, to let people know that they're not alone. And we live in a world where I think that's one of the most important things that we can do, is to reach out and touch other people and let them know that they're not alone. Because there are a lot of people that do feel isolated and they don't feel like their life really matters and that anybody would even notice if they were gone. And I think that's one of the saddest things that I run into in my life, is people feeling like they're invisible and nobody cares. But I think it's important. And music has always been such a beautiful way to get in touch with people. And we hear stories, and I know you've heard the stories. I think you told me that you heard a story from someone that told you that a particular song kept them from doing something to themselves.
Yeah, I had a really good friend of mine, Troy, is actually in the program, and he called me up. He's actually an old Army Ranger, and he'd seen some things that we're not supposed to see as human beings, I think. And so he struggled with PTSD and substance abuse and stuff like that. He calls me up. My wife is in the car with me, and he says, "Man, you know what? I played Russian roulette a couple of times, and we wouldn't be having this conversation if I didn't win every time. But the last time I had a pistol in my lap and your song came on it, and I looped it 3 or 4 times in a row, and your song saved my life, man." Yeah. And
that's making me anyway.
Yeah. It's real. So yeah,
thank
my wife
you for sharing that. And we're going to play this song now, "I've Been to Hell and You Can Have It." And we come back, Christopher, I want to talk about what's been on the other side of that sobriety and how you have found a way to, to find your purpose in a way that helps people and helps yourself, too. So if you're just tuning in, it's Texas Homegrown Music with Maylee Thomas and my friend Christopher Wright. And this beautiful song, and I'm going to say beautiful because it speaks to people. "I've Been to Hell and You Can Have It," and we'll be right back.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him think. You can throw a man a life raft, but you can't make him sink. If love's the answer, show me the way, so that I can live to fight another day. Cause time is wasted, wasted time. Waste your time. Oh, yet. Wake me up, show me the way, so that I can live to fight another day.
With Christopher Wright. And so I don't know, Christopher, I feel like this particular show is going to actually help a lot of people out there. And I'm so grateful for you being so transparent and being willing to give your story, because let's face it. People need to know that there's people out there that have struggled and they've made it through. And there's a lot of different ways that people struggle. And it sounds like you've had a couple of them yourself. And the fact that you haven't been able to see your daughters for so long, I think you shared with me earlier, it's been how many years?
I'm going on 9 years now. Yeah.
Oh, and I know you have a daughter that just turned 18 and you have another one that's 16. And I'm just going to pray and believe, Christopher, that they'll reach out to you. I can tell you this. I was, a completely different circumstances, but I didn't see my mother for 28 years. And I had this yearning inside of me, and I broke that and made myself reach out and get to know her. And just a few years before she died, actually. And I'll never regret it. I'm so grateful that I did that. And I'm hoping that your daughters will do it sooner than later. Because they'll learn from it. And, you know, and I just from knowing you now, and I don't even care about where you were before. You know, we all have a past. Everybody's got things that they've gone through. And I believe in living for today and starting. You can start fresh and you can not, you know, just have no regret, because it doesn't do you any good. Right.
You're right. Yeah. You know,
you can learn from things in that respect. But I really hope that your daughters will reach out to you and give themselves a chance to know their dad, because you're a special individual. And I know that they will see it and feel it, too. So share with me what music has done for you, because you clearly have a gift. Did you always desire to play? Did you know?
Well, I think it's funny that I think it's funny that you segued all that together and you're talking about the common side of me. So I wrote that tune when I was 15 years old. And if you listen to the words of that, you're like, whoa, what kind of 15-year-old writes a song like this? So I had, as in the summer of 2018, my mom calls me up and says, you need to come over here and get some of this stuff out of my garage, or else I'm going to throw it away, because I got a bunch of boxes over here that I've had forever in the attic, and come over here and rifle through it and see what you want. So I get over there and I'm going through, and I got like old pictures of girlfriends from middle school and stuff like that, and things that I found like some old Indigo Girls like book music, you know, like awesome stuff. But in the middle of one of those, in that Indigo Girls book, I was thumbing through the back of it and I saw the song, The Calm Inside of Me. And so the way it worked out was I found that, and I kind of rat holed it back and I was like, okay, I need to do something with this now. And so anyways, like, so I've been playing with music one way. I got my first guitar when I was 11. And I always wanted to be a songwriter. I had Uncle Jake that he wasn't my biological uncle, but he was awesome, and he had, was the greatest guitar picker. He was one of those bluegrass guys. And anyway, so I wanted to be an athlete, so I lost all of that stuff in high school and things like that, because I just got into sports and all that. But music was always a huge, huge player for me, and I had kept a guitar at arm's length, so I was always kind of fiddling with it. But I wrote songs when I was in college and stuff. Like, I wrote Mistress of Intoxication when I was in college.
Okay. I can see why.
Anyway, so there's stages in this life. This EP, literally, it's called Losing Everything I Never Had, because I wrote one of those songs when I was 15. I wrote one when I was in college, and I literally wrote one in November of last year. So it's kind of like over a long span, I took those tunes, and then I mixed in I'm Not the Devil from Cody Jinks, and I did that for my girls. So, but that being said, I wanted to put the first EP, as I kind of really bear down on getting this music career off the ground, this is the way that I wanted to get it started. And I've been thinking about it for a long time. But that song, it's got that gut string guitar, that Spanish entry, because Angela, my wife.
I love that.
Yeah, Angela and I, my wife and I, were watching a cartoon, and she's got, her daughter is now 14. This was a couple of years back. She's like 12. And it was Coco. Have you seen that? The Pixar, Disney.
Yep. So
it's like the little guy that wants to be a guitar player, but his family's like shoemakers. And anyway, so I was like, wait a minute, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take that, and I'm going to put that to that song, that song that I just found. Because it literally happened like in a couple of days.
Right.
You know, so I just changed the keys, key up to the way that I wrote it and put it together. And I sent it to my guys out there in Nashville, and they're like, dude, we got to cut this song. And I was like, let's do it. So, yeah, that's the story behind it.
But you know what's kind of cool? You wrote that tune, you said, what, when you were 15?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, it's almost like Babe Ruth calling a shot, right? Because it literally talks about like
your spirit. You know, you are the same, because, you know, in the spirit world, our spirits don't age. We are who we are, right? We fill our soul with different things and in the world, but our spirit is, you know, is the same always. And so to me, that you, who's really you, your spirit, already knew about the calm inside of you.
Yes. Yeah.
And There's something very special about that, Christopher, that, you know, you're able to recognize that was you all along. Just all these other things started trying to get in the way.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I think it's interesting too, because about when I was 15 was about really when that's really when I kind of started drinking, you know? I mean, I really started experimenting with alcohol on a level to where you really shouldn't at all when I was 15. Hell, I'm probably earlier than that. But really, so it's almost like my sobriety when it started, well, when I started kind of losing myself in that feeling of not really wanting to feel, and then towards the end of when I got sober and I realized that, hey, you know what? Music is your thing. This is what you're good at. You know, you might want to stop playing around, because the rest of your life is for this, and you need to ride this out and do this. So it's explaining the way all this stuff comes together is way beyond me. So, like, you know, I know that the power that's greater than me is running my show now. And I just, for some reason, I thought that I was in charge of it. For the middle part.
Did your dad hear you and see you play music?
Yeah, my dad actually, he was, you know, he told me that he used to, so I graduated from Texas Tech University in 99. And when I was out there, Corey Morrow and Pat Green and all those guys were buddies of ours. Corey Morrow is one of my fraternity brothers.
And I did a show a year ago.
So, you know, those guys kept getting the deal done. We played gigs out there in Lubbock when I was out there. Little things, you know, just knocking it around. I always thought I was going to fall off a bar stool into a record contract. Turned out I just fell off the bar stool. But but the thing is that they kept on doing the music deal. My dad was the one that said, you know, son, you need to get a real job. That guitar's never going to pay for anything. You know, he's old school like that. He wasn't paying attention. But, yes, to answer your question is, you know, the last couple of years – he listened to my recordings and he really liked it. And he's behind my back. He was going to his friends and pitching my album to people.
Dragging on. So, yeah. Isn't that?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Cause I remember you told me when we were off the air that he had passed away this past January. And I was hoping that, you know, as a parent, and it, as you can feel as well, that, you know, you want to believe that they got to see you do something that made you so happy and that you felt fulfilled in your purpose, because this is your purpose, Christopher. And it's, listen, I've had a real job, you know, and I say a real job because music is a real job, but I've had other jobs too, to keep myself going. You know, and my dad was the same way. My dad, you know, he kept saying, honey, this music thing is great, but it's not going to keep you a roof over your head. You know, you got to do some other things too. And so I did those kind of things to so he could see that I was willing to do whatever it took to be able to do music. But I'm glad to hear that. Well, we're going to play that beautiful song, The Common Side. And I was going to ask you about that because that guitar playing grabbed me. And I love, you know, I don't know. I don't know what it is that about the nylon strings and that style of guitar playing. And we've spent a lot of time in San Miguel de Allende in the last 10 years playing some festivals down there. And I always love to find these little, you know, off little clubs that have people in there playing this beautiful flamenco style. Love it.
Yeah. This is a, just real quick. So this is that little Cordoba right here. It's that little Spanish made guitar. Oh, I love this thing.
It's beautiful. And I know you're going to love it when you hear it, people, because it's just gorgeous and it just sets this song up so beautifully. So we're going to play it right now. It's called The Common Side with Christopher Wright. And these are all new releases that he's done. So you guys, please go out and get these, buy these tunes, because I'm telling you, I've got this song on my playlist now because I love it so much.
Yes.
Christopher Wright, The Common Side. And when we come back, he's going to actually play a song for us that he wrote in college called Mistress of Intoxication, and we'll have him talk about that too. But we'll be right back. You're on Texas Homegrown Music with Maylee Thomas and my guest Christopher Wright.
Parallel to me on a distant sea is a man with the same hopes and dreams. Will I see him? I don't know. So to the Father's hands I go, trying to find the calm inside of me. The calm inside of me, yeah. Calm inside of me. Where's the gold under the rainbow? Point me so I'll see. See the man I'm looking for. Paint my eyes to destiny. Stand still and dreams turn real. The calm inside of me. Stumbles, does he fall just like the rest? Am I the only one who fumbles? Will I ever pass the test? I see the goodness in my soul. Won't you answer, Mister, please? Where's the man I'm looking for? Where's the calm inside of me? The calm inside of me. Rainbow, point me so I'll see.
Song by Cory Morrow, and I guess you guys heard that he actually went to college with Christopher Wright, and as well as Pat Green. And so I thought I might just throw that out there for a little bit of, you know, remembrance for those guys, that they're all playing music and doing really well out there. That's a beautiful song that Cory actually released last year on Valentine's Day, and I know now why, because it's a beautiful love song called Always and Forever. So we're back with Christopher Wright, and if you're not familiar with his music, then get familiar with it, because he's got a story to tell, and I can't wait to share it with our listening audience. And Christopher, it's been such a pleasure to get to know you, and I want to get to know you more because you're a neighbor. You don't live very far from me, so there's no reason why we can't run into each other and get to know each other a little bit better and have you over to the Guitar Sanctuary.
I know. I look forward to it. And the fact of the matter is that we've got we've been spilling blood in the same mud for a long time. We know people that know each other. So
exactly.
We have no excuses now.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I love about doing this show. I've gotten to know so many great people. And right here in my own, you know, within 20 miles of me, I cannot believe how many phenomenal artists there are out there that I didn't get to discover until now that have been playing for years. But that's how it is when you're an artist and you play music, you know, you're out doing your thing. And unless you run into them, and even then, I can't tell you how many times I've opened a show for big bands and everybody's like, oh, my God, what are they like? Did you get to meet them? I'm like, no, You know, you go in and do your sound check. They go do theirs and that's it. You don't see each other. You know? Yeah. So that's why this has been so great. And I'm so glad that I've gotten to know you a little bit better. And I'm going to make a point of getting to know you more. And I'd love to have you come out, like I said, and play at the Guitar Sanctuary and also Tupps Brewery. They're both sponsors of the show. And I happen to know some people. So we can do something and get you over there.
Very cool.
Right?
Awesome. Yeah. I'm excited.
Love to do that. So I'm just going to give you a little second segment here, a few minutes to talk about this Mistress of Intoxication that you wrote in college, because you're going to play that for us.
Yeah. Yeah. So Mistress of Intoxication, I'm pretty sure that when I wrote that song, that I probably did have something that was intoxicating me in that system. So those were fun times. This was back when, okay. So there's sections of my life where, you know, I had a lot of fun with it, you know, and I still, you know, I mean, I play in bars and stuff like that, you know? So, I mean, I know that it's possible to enjoy yourself responsibly. I think on my website, I was written in there and I had a quote or something. It's like, you know, I never shot anybody's dog, you know. I just made a lot of, you know. I didn't think so, you know. There was a while there where I definitely was making some really, really bad decisions. But for the most part, I mean, it started because it was fun, you know. And so there was the Mistress of Intoxication talking about how remembering laughter, kind of remembering me when I thought I was kind of finding myself, you know, and then remembering madness as I see the room kind of close around on me, you know, those types of things. It's a kind of all those things that go on whenever you may be trying to expand your horizons, let's say.
There comes a time in my own life when I need a different side of me. Another view from a window, I slip through the panes to see inside me. And so I go where the wind goes, and I know where she can find me. She's my mistress of intoxication. My anticipation to feel her. She comes to me just like a wave that rolls me under for a day. I feel her, but when she's not around.
hope you guys enjoyed the show today. I know I did. And I believe that Christopher Wright is going to end up on a lot of playlists out there for all my listeners, because he's got a really cool voice. Love his story. Love the lines in his lyrics. And I just love the fact that he's found love again, and he's writing about it, and he's sharing his life with all of us. And isn't that what we do here in this journey? Everybody's just trying to figure it out. And I know for me, the best thing that I can do is share it with other people and find that camaraderie with each other. And all of us are just searching for love and for affirmation. And it's a beautiful way to do it through music. So I love this job. I love bringing music to you guys. And I'm going to bring some new music to you next week with Saints 11, another Texas group. And I'm actually just going to close the show today with one of their songs called My Home Is. And next week, you guys tune in and you'll hear about these guys, Saints 11, from here in Texas. But for now, it's Maylee Thomas, Texas Homegrown Music. Remember to love life. You get out of it what you put into it. We'll see you next time. Peace out, everybody.
Traveling down the highway, singing my songs for you and them. I don't know.